Y'all ready for this?
It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
It makes you wonder how you keep from going under. Couldn't have been more appropriate. You know, my man Kev picks the music. I keep my hands off of it. Every now and then he comes up with a winner. Lord knows that's a winner. Let me just tell you real quick. I wasn't here last week because I went down to see my boy Larry Baxter in Jacksonville, old college roommate, teammate. We did some damage from 1970 to 1974. I mean, we had, and I've said this, because I'm divorced, it's easy to say, and because I have no children, it's easier to say.
And that's probably why you're divorced.
The best 4 years of my life were in college. The best 4 years of my life from 70 to 74, we had a blast. Went down to see my man in Jacksonville, just built a home in a beautiful gated community. Great, great location, that Jacksonville. So yours truly thinking, only because I'm scared to fly, and I don't mind admitting it, I have a fear of heights, I'm scared to fly. Fly if I have to, but if I don't, you know, if I don't have to, I won't. So I say, well, you know what, Joe, I'm going to go down to Jacksonville. Get on a train.
Get ready to laugh.
Oh, boy. I'm going to get on a train, Joe. Wait, Joe. I'm going to get on a train because I'm going to get some rest because I haven't been anywhere in a year. I'm going to get some rest. I'll get some paperwork done. I'll get a few proposals locked in.
Took them a year to get there.
By the time I, you know, get there, I'll just be breaking even time-wise. So one of my friends said, yeah, that train, man, it's Amtrak, that's new, and it's all that. And the other person, the scenery is great. And let me just tell you this, Joe. The scenery is crap. It's nothing but trees, Joe. They put the train tracks in the lower level of the woods across the country. It ain't like the train tracks, Joe, is rolling through the city where there's something to see. The train tracks are down at the other end where ain't nothing but trees and weeds and swamp. Secondly, I could out-bicycle the train. The train don't go but 42 miles an hour. Thirdly, the recline on the seats, these are glorified Greyhound bus seats. That's all they are. I'm thinking we got some swivel and some recline. Not on this train. And lastly, I'm going to tell you this. That 75, 78-year-old woman that kept harassing me all the way to Washington, D.C., wanted to know if I was really Joe Green because I had a Joe Green shirt on. First of all, lady, don't know superstars wear their own shirt. That's number one. Number two, if I'm Joe Green, what am I doing on this train, lady? I mean, really. And number three, can you back up off me a little bit, lady? I'm not interested. I mean, how bad is life when a single man has not one opportunity to talk to a woman all the way from Pittsburgh to Jacksonville. Pittsburgh to Harrisburg to Philadelphia to D.C. to Jacksonville and back the same way. Joe, on the way down, did you know trains can't go in storms? They stopped the train. Y'all can't drive in this storm, so we got to sit in D.C.
in
for
a rainstorm.
Rainstorm, stop the train, pull over, and we got to wait an hour and a half for that. So that wasn't bad enough. On the way back from Jacksonville, I'm got to be the only guy on the planet that gets on the train and the engine blows. The engine, Trev. Trev, I can understand if the air conditioner went or the lights wasn't working right or even that old woman pushing up on the brother. But the engine, we had to wait 5.5 hours for an engine to come from North Carolina. And let me just tell you this. I don't know if I'm even allowed to say this, Kev. I'm going to say it anyway. Well, I'll say it without repeating the name. Don't y'all get on no train. If you're trying to get somewhere in a hurry, better stay your butt off a train.
But Bill.
And if you want it to be enjoyable, do not get on. Joe.
Don't call me.
Look, Joe, I will fly a paper mache. I'll get on a paper mache airplane before I get on a train.
Did your boys laugh at you once you got there?
They're still laughing. And guess who else is laughing, Kev? Because you know her. Chanel's in D.C.
Okay, yeah.
And so
yeah.
You know Chanel, great friend of mine, and the former director of my modeling group, Miss Pennsylvania, Miss Pittsburgh, Miss all those things, and now world-class bodybuilder. So she's in D.C., so I figured, because I'm charting this, Joe, I'm thinking, well, I'll get to D.C., I'll see Chanel. And Chanel said, you're where? And I said, I'm outside of D.C. And she said, well, when you get here, I said, probably in about 2 hours. And I told her the story. She is still laughing at me. She said, you're going to Jacksonville by way of Johnstown, Allentown, Harrisburg, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C. Are you out of your mind? Gentlemen, gentlemen, a train is for old people who are almost dead, who have nothing else to do, no place to be on time. And you know how, here's the end of it. You know how, like if you're like if you're home watching TV, right, and it's kind of like 11:30, 12-ish, and you and then you doze off and you think, when you wake up, you're thinking, man, it's I didn't doze off. It's 6:30. It's time to go to work. But when you wake up, it's only been a half hour later. Every time I doze off on that train, hoping that it was the next day, hey, Joe, it was another half hour later. It took 9 hours to get 5 hours done. Oh, Cam, it was terrible. It was just terrible. It was terrible. I'm sorry, man. It was the worst.
I could barely speak, but Bill, I mean.
I'm not exaggerating.
You waking up. I know why you kept falling asleep and waking up. You didn't back up off that 75.
Look, I'm like, lady, look, I am not Joe Green. Can I take a picture with you? No. Can you get an autograph? Oh, lady, man. Look. But here's the real.
You're going to have to convince me that what? You back
no,
back
I
off.
Had to. Cam, I'm telling you, I swear. And here's the icing on the cake, worse than that. So that when I call to make my reservations, I ask, well, do you have movies? I said, no, you don't have movies. So I said, well, you have a cafeteria where you can get coach and you can get dinner served and all that. But then they have a you know, part of, you know, one of their cars is a cafeteria. It's not really a cafeteria, Joe. It's a car with a refrigerator and a microwave and whatnot that you can buy some sandwiches and whatnot.
So it's a vending car.
There you go. And Joe, the icing on the cake was trying to make the best of a bad situation. I said, yes, give me the ham, egg, and cheese sandwich. I'll get along. And it was fine until when you bite into the middle of the sandwich and it's still cold, now you got issues.
Yeah.
I mean, there was nothing good about this trip.
And let me just make a suggestion for you. Don't take the train again. However, make sure this is the last time you ever tell this story.
Okay, well, I'm done with it. I had to get.
Let's move on, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I had to share it. I just had to share it.
All right, so moving on, and we're going to wrap this tennis segment up.
Although I have to admit, in the twilight hour, she was looking. What?
Around three, Joe?
Hey,
Joe.
I'm not in it. Hey, my name is Bennett, and I'm not in.
Hey, Joe, around 3 or 4 in the morning, she's looking all right.
But you're still on the train, Bill. You're still
you know
on
I'm
the
saying?
Train.
I didn't go that way, Joe. But you know, when you wake up and look over across the aisle, and she, you know, she's smiling at you, you may have to go that way a little bit.
Oh boy.
Sorry, Kim. I'm sorry. But, you know, I'm a single man. What can I tell you?
Okay.
All right. Yeah, let me pull it together. All right. So, tennis. We were talking about African-American black men playing tennis. And I want to put it out there that the last African-American man to win a Grand Slam event was Arthur Ashe Jr., who won Wimbledon in 1975. Do you two realize the Pittsburgh Pirates won a World Series since 1975? They won it in 1979.
Yes.
Okay, so after Ashe's victory at Wimbledon in 1975, as many as 6 black American players were ranked in the top 100 at that particular time. And I take it, Joe, that what do we have? One maybe in the top 100?
What, now?
Yes.
Yeah, Donald definitely is in the top 100. Donald Young. I don't know what Schofield Jenkins' ranking is right now. And Francis Tafel, I don't know where he is as well. But he wasn't in the top. Neither one of those guys were in the top 100.
Well, what was the problem, Joe? Is it the age-old problem of not having the availability, the resources, the money to learn the game? Because clearly African-American athletes tend to dominate sports that they invest in.
Well, Bill, it goes like this. A lot of our better and stronger athletes aren't playing the game. For whatever reason. Now, it could be access. And it's tennis is an expensive game. You know, people say, oh, well, it was only country club game. Well, now it's kind of branched its way out of the country club, and it is a little bit more mainstream. Mm-hmm. But you still have to have equipment that is fairly expensive, and you still have to have a facility I'm not going to say we don't have public courts. We have public tennis courts all around. Mm-hmm. But then you have to have someone to teach you the right way to do it. You know, people say, I'll just step out there and I'll figure it out. Well, tennis is like the game of golf. You can figure it out, mm-hmm. but it the people who figure it out faster and who are able to repeat themselves at figuring out faster are going to be better.
Yeah.
At a shorter period of time, and they're going to be able to sustain themselves over a longer period of time. And they're going to be the ones who get sponsorships when they're younger, and when they have those sponsorships when they're younger, those sponsorships carry them throughout part of their career. So it's a perpetual process that starts at a very early and young age. If you don't get into a certain groove by a certain time, you kind of miss the window.
And just to add to that, and I guess with a question as well, with just doing my research on the state of black tennis players in America, and I stated what Arthur Ashe did and how many African-American players we had in the top 100 on the men's side. Mm-hmm. And one of the keys to allowing that to happen centered around getting the proper instructions. And you indicated how important that is as well. And one of the ways that I saw that they were getting the right instructions, they went to college. They opted to take the college route so they could get the quality coaching mm-hmm. that was needed to play at the top level of golf, which I understand is not occurring right now. They're trying to change it back.
In golf or tennis?
In tennis.
In tennis, okay.
In tennis. They're mm-hmm. trying to change it back where that would be a channel for our African-American players, for our black players to take that route.
Well, I mean, in tennis, fortunately or unfortunately, it starts even at an earlier age. I have a real good close friend of mine who is actually teaching down at the U.S. Tennis Academy. It's down in Florida. And he is at the place where if you want to be somebody in tennis, you send your kid, you know, and they basically teach them not only about tennis, but they homeschool them there. You know, they're basically, these people go in and these kids go in and they are basically tennis from the time they wake up to the time they go to bed. But it's all about how not only to manage your tennis career, but how to manage your educational career and the likes. So he is down there doing some amazing things with a lot of young people. If you wait till you try to go to college or get proper instruction and all that, the game has passed you by. Because you have to pretty much start out in the what they call juniors, 8 and 10 and 12 years old. You have to start out at that level competing really around the country to really understand where your talent is compared to everybody else. And when you miss some of these, again, windows that I talked about, where if you're not looked at being at a strong regional ranking or a strong sectional ranking or a strong national ranking by X age, no one is going to say, well, just come jump on my squad and travel around the country on my dime to help, you know, to help build your career. Tennis is a game about, unfortunately, it's a game where you have to, again, we talked about these WTA points mm-hmm. Or the ATP points on the men's side is what it's called. You have to engage and be a part. And the people who are a part, fortunately or unfortunately, are the people who have access to a pretty good cash flow. Because if you're not traveling, it's like AAU. If you ain't traveling, you're not in the mix.
You're getting missed. And I know this is very rhetorical in its a basic statement. But wouldn't we all think or wish that maybe specifically in tennis and maybe in golf, but with all the great black multimillionaire athletes, wouldn't you think that they would establish tennis camps and golf camps for young African—I mean, I know it's very rhetorical and it's very obvious, but you know, there's so many very wealthy black athletes that could establish a tennis mm-hmm. camp, and there's enough to go around that you could have it in various cities. You wouldn't have to all go to one place, but wouldn't that be a great idea? Maybe somebody out there will hear us say this that. You know, a guy that just made $25 million in a year playing basketball could go establish a tennis camp and help move some of these potentially talented people into the ranks.
Well, and Bill, you've made an interesting point, and because there are a number of grassroots programs around the country. I'm a tennis teaching professional, and I learned through the United States Professional Tennis Registry. Now it's just called Professional Tennis Registry, as PTR. But as I travel around, I mean, there are pockets of organizations that do just like I do, give my services away pro bono to a lot of the inner city kids. When I happened to be in Chicago and I hooked up with one of my fraternity brothers, Kamal Murray, he actually coaches Sloane Stephens.
Wow.
He's Sloane's coach and has been her coach for quite some time, for a couple of years. And matter of fact, I don't know if you guys saw him at the U.S. Open when she was competing last year. Mm-hmm. They did some interviews with Kamal and talking about how he was able to, you know, bring her up underneath his wing and really kind of get her seasoned and ready, you know, to take on the next level. Mm-hmm. But long story short is there are a number of programs that are around. It's not necessarily created by other professional black professional athletes. It's just people in general. You know, like the city of Pittsburgh, I got to give it to them. They give us indoor court time, free indoor court time for our program, 3 hours a week over at the Mellon Bubble. And that's a huge part of something that helps us with our program, because we couldn't afford to do something like that.
And maybe we need to bring our show over one day as well and do remotely.
Sure.
from the site, something we need to think of. Well.
And that's commendable, Joe. And you in tennis, that's what I spent 40 years doing in basketball.
Absolutely.
So those of us that are grassroots and we do that, but what I'm and listen, I'm not here as we echo our words across the country. I'm not trying to tell anybody how to spend their money, because more often than not, most very wealthy people, and usually African Americans, are invested in something. They are making contributions and donations. If they don't do that, the government gets all the money back anyway. So I know a lot of that goes on. But just imagine, for example, just imagine if I won't name names or put anybody in the spot, but just imagine if one of the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, you guys have the bubble over in Mellon Park, but just imagine if they built a tennis facility not only for African-American kids, but inner-city kids.
Right.
Just imagine the advantage on top of what you're already doing that creates. And I'm just saying,
maybe it's a natural pipeline. It will create a natural pipeline, and it'll create a pipeline for these kids who you know, because at the Mellon Bubble, which is great, they have baseball fields out there. They have basketball courts out there. And on occasions, sometimes in the winter, we see some of these kids filtering from the basketball course if it's not too cold out, and they'll come inside, you know, maybe to get a drink of water, and they see all these kids out here playing. They're like, well, how can I do it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's really what you want in a sport like this, because you don't necessarily say, okay, well, this kid has the pedigree. Well, you don't know if the kid has the pedigree until you get him out there and give him some training or her some training, and then you see what really their pedigree is. Because these really strong athletes, some of them don't want to say, I want to be an aspiring tennis player. No, they probably don't. They think in basketball, football, baseball, you know, the three power sports, that's what they're thinking about. But unfortunately, all of them aren't going to be great at those sports, but they could turn over and be unbelievable tennis players.
Now, I can't let you out of here as well, Joe, without you providing a little bit more information on your background.
Okay.
And you know, your tennis, and also you have a book as well.
Yeah, I'm a co-author of a book. But from a tennis standpoint, I'm an ex-collegiate athlete, you know, and after I've finished my college at Winston-Salem State, playing there in my college years, you know, I basically went and earned my United States Professional Tennis Registry, the professional level certification, and I've been actively teaching for over 30 years. So, and what I do right now, again, I do teach for some juniors as well as some adults in private lessons, but I give a lot of my time away.
But what you're really saying is you could spank Ernie Bay any day.
Watch out. You're not going to put me on record
Can a brother ask a question, Trev? I just asked a question. Well, apparently I hit a nerve, so I'll back off.
I'm going to ask the Highland Park Tennis Association to listen to this tomorrow.
No,
so don't want to put that on them.
Well, look, if you scared to play Ernie Bay, you scared to play Ernie Bay.
Yeah.
I don't know if it gets any simpler than that.
Won't you, when you hook up with Ernie and you ask Ernie if he wants to play me, then we'll see what Ernie
says. Now we got a party. Unlike Kev, who backed away from playing against Rock Robinson when Rock said, "Well, let's go play, Kev. We'll see how good
you are." I'm willing to play. You asked me who would win.
No, you didn't want to play. You know, it was written all over your face.
No, not at all. I'll play anybody.
Oh, no, you didn't say that when Rock was sitting there. I'll play anybody. You say that now that Rock ain't here. Yeah, when Rock was sitting there, you didn't offer that. All right.
So, Joe, I know you said you'll share this information
absolutely
with the Highland Park Tennis Association, absolutely, but I also want to make sure everyone is aware that there's a second sports show on the station, as well as Urban Media Today Talk Sports, Trevin and his crew. And they come on every Saturday at 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. So make sure you check that out as well.
Absolutely. Okay? Absolutely. Well, in fact, Trev gave me some information here, so I'll definitely be able to, you know, get that out as well.
Well, let me offer this a couple insights. And, Joe, you may remember that we, my organization, Achieving Greatness, Inc., ran the Mixed Double Celebrity Tournament every Labor Day. And I do want to mention this to you on air because, as a matter of fact, just mentioned it to Ernie Beatty the other day. But I am looking at wanting to do a tournament this fall. Long story short, the owner of the Monroeville Racquet Club is a friend, and we were doing things out there on occasion, if you recall, but we kind of got away because they had some misguided management. But he just reached out to me a couple months ago and invited me to come back out. So we have an opportunity to do something. So I'd love to talk to you about, if you have time, collaborating. I just want to do a one shot. I mentioned to Ernie the idea of a king and queen of the courts competition, and I'd like to do something like that. But I tell you why I offer that. For all the years that we did the tournament, and I don't know how many of our listeners take the time to watch tennis competition, especially on this level, it's fascinating and can be enormously competitive. And you can see personalities change from, "Hey, how you doing?" to, "You better get out my face." I mean, it gets serious, and the talent, you know, you look at people playing on this level and wonder, how did they not get to the next level? And of course, there's a thin line between making it and almost making it. So I'd love to get with you and talk about that. I think Kev had a great idea for us to get over and do a show with you guys and really create some exposure around that. But I know everybody thinks about going to see basketball or football games, but if you want to see some really competitive stuff, you watch a lot of our local talent playing tennis.
All right, and I would definitely agree with you. And it is a thin line between levels of competition, and that's where tennis is a sport that's hard to handicap. You know, people say, "Oh, well, just, you know, like in bowling, you can say, okay, you know, this," or in golf, you can, you know, do various handicaps. And but in tennis, it's you just have to be able to do it, or you can't.
Yeah, and Ernie, you know, I remember, was talking about the different grades in tennis.
Yeah, they're a different you call it levels.
Yeah,
they have different levels, and it starts out as low as a 2.0, and that's basically a person who's just learning the game. I mean, just kind of stepping on the court for the first time.
Is it a 1.0? I think I might be a 1.0.
No, they really just start you out at 2. But your touring professional, your top touring professional, like a, you know, Serena or a Nadal or a Federer, you know, they're 7.0, 7.5. So when I was playing at the height of my time, it's around a 5.0 level. Now I'm lucky to be a 4.5, and I'm struggling to hang on to a 4.0. So I just haven't played as much, but I still want to give back to the game as much as I can.
I wanted to ask the guy Noah. Whatever happened?
Yannick Noah.
His dad was.
Yeah.
His son plays NBA basketball.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yannick was the tennis player, but his son is the NBA player.
Yes.
So where is his tennis game now? Is he past his prime?
He's well past. He's probably in his 60s.
Was he that old?
Yeah, he's in his 60s probably, or late 50s, early 60s, Yannick Noah.
Man, it seems like yesterday he was playing.
Yeah, he's from the Cameroon.
Are you watching old VCR tape?
that could very well be true. Now, you don't know. You just hit a nerve when you said that.
Yeah, Yannick is well past his prime. And he was out there even before Boris Becker and Lindell and all those guys are all since retired. And they could be playing like McEnroe. They could be playing seniors, but some of those guys probably don't get much enjoyment out of it as much anymore. So they just do something else.
Well, to Kevin's point, let's get your phone number, your email address, and whatever people need to know to be a part of what you're doing, bringing kids to what you're doing. Put it all out there a couple times so they can lock it in.
I want him to mention his book as well.
Okay, yeah, let me go ahead and just make sure, again, I repeat. So the best way to do with the Highland Park, excuse me, not Highland Park, but with the Inner City Junior Tennis Program is we're on Facebook, and it's probably the best way. We also have a website, but the Facebook, if you just go out there and do a search on Inner City Junior Tennis Program, you should be able to find us, and then from there you could get to our website as well. And as for, you know,
okay, but Joe, go ahead and repeat it again because people are grabbing an ink pen.
Right, Intercity Junior Tennis Program. So just like it sounds, just type that in a search engine within Facebook, and you should be able to get to the Facebook site, which will give you some information there, and then based on that, you can also find our website. On that.
And you all do scholarships as well.
Right? We do not necessarily scholarships because the program is a free program. A kid just has to come out with a pair of shoes. We can furnish them rackets. We give them instruction. And we tell them, you know, what all we need. So parents really have to do nothing other than have a willing and able child who's willing to, you know, give it their all while they're out there. And we give them the proper instruction as well as the equipment that they need. So for the Highland Park Tennis Association, again, I'm not as close to that, but clearly Stanton Avenue all summer long, if you want to go play tennis, if you just want to pick up tennis, there are people down there from the sun up to sundown ready to give you a game.
And they're specific, you know, for a number of years, my agency sponsored the T-shirts for their summer tennis clinics, and we kind of collaborated with utilizing my writing in the Courier and whatever talk show I was on at the time to move people there. But like your program, they welcome young people and provide them balls and rackets. But I know for a fact they're every Saturday morning from 9:30 until 11.
From 9:30 to 11. It's a free program, not only for kids, but it's a free program for adults as well.
And they go to the end of July, I think?
They go through the middle of July. Middle of July, and Dana Costa. Dana Costa is the president of the Highland Park Tennis Association right now.
Now, what's her husband's name?
Dom.
Now, that's a guy, for
Dom,
example,
Dom
that I
bangs
was
the ball.
When you watch this cat play tennis, you're like, man, this
intense.
Guy can play, man.
Yeah, it's intense. It's very intense. And, Kevin, back to your point, I am a co-author of a workbook. It's called the Family Goal Planning Guide and Workbook. And what it does, it's based around six core principles of your life. It's based around your faith, your family, your finances, what future aspirations you have, what fitness you put in your body to be able to relieve the stress, as well as what fun you have to enjoy life. And so it takes those six core F principles, and it allows you to structure yourself through goal planning, and it kind of helps you lay out and organize your life for you to make yourself a better you, or make you a better either man in your family or a woman in your family.
Okay, great. And how do they get the book?
They can get the book by going to the website www.thegoalplanner.com. So again, thegoalplanner.com is how you can access more information about that, as well as you can obtain the book.
Okay, great.
Sounds great. Well, that's a lot of lifetime you got rolled into a few years, Joe. I was curious to know, what high school are you from?
I actually grew up in North Carolina and finished up at a high school called E.E. Smith back in, I'm afraid to say.
Just to add, before that, I know we have to break, but I actually served in the Army at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and I got a chance to see Joe play quarterback for his high school, and we didn't realize it until later.
Small world.
Yeah, small world. Kevin said he was there, you know, I think you were doing some training at the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, doing some training, and that was in my senior year, and he happened to come by one of the games where I was actually playing.
That's
and
amazing.
That's amazing. It is absolutely amazing. So I had a good time with it. Unfortunately, I didn't go off and play college. I could have, but I chose to play tennis instead. So, but it's all good. I'm glad how things worked out.
Very good, very good.
So great having you here, Joe.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Bill.
Don't be a stranger.
Kevin. Oh, hey, yeah. you invited me, so you have to invite me back.
Okay. Yeah, let's look forward to setting up a live on-site program before the summer's up, and bring some more attention to what you're doing and get more people out involved in what you're providing for this city. And I agree with you. The city has stepped up its involvement over the last, I guess, 10, 12, 15 years.
They've been at it for a while. Actually, this program is like 30-some years old.
And getting the courts upgraded and all those kinds of things. So it's good to be. But I just think it's a great program that we forget about being accessible to kids and scholarship availabilities that come from it.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hey, we'll be back in a moment to talk about the Pittsburgh Pirates as they're in a little bit of a slump. But they'll be coming back, not to worry.
Tune in weeknights at 8 p.m. for The Nightcap, your favorite slow jams for lovers. Or maybe you want to sit back, relax, and unwind. After a long day at work, you'll need a nightcap. So relax. We'll handle the rest. It's The Nightcap on Urban Media Today Radio.